to episode 200 of
Brutal Battle.
All right, so it's the Decasode. Everyone knows we do this from time to time, and every 10, well, not quite 10 episodes, more like 16 or 18 or whatever at this point, because I have all these special ones that we do now. But this is number 200. It's a big deal. It's not actually the 200th episode. I know I've said this before, but we're over like 250 total episodes because of all the special episodes and stuff. But of the regular numbered episodes, it is 200, which is something to celebrate. So we're going to do it big with Jason Evans.
Hello.
Dan Kim.
Hi, guys.
And myself. And this actually was Dan Kim's idea. So, Dan, what was your original idea as you pitched it to me?
So we were trying to come up with tournament ideas, and so, you know, a lot of times what we've done before is based on additions or, you know, lagers or double IPAs, or maybe we'll do something like a territory where, you know, it has to be limited to Maryland or something like that. So I got to thinking, you know, there's a lot of beers that are highly venerated, highly rated, that are just kind of taken for granted. So I was thinking about what if we did a tournament of all beers that, like oldies but goodies.
Yeah.
So, like, we just came up with parameters. Like, it had to be a beer recipe that was somewhere between 10 and 20 years old. I think we settled on 10, right?
I just set a minimum. Okay. So basically what I did is I went to Josh Rodriguez at Wine World and said, hey, man, would you be able to put together 12 beers for me that are very well-respected beers? The recipes are 10 years or older for all of those beers. And he was like, I will see what I can do. He came through because we're having the episode. And it was actually funny because when I went to pick it up from him, he was like, he handed me a box. They were all boxed up. And he was just like, those are all the beers. He's like, and they're all 10 years or older. And I was like, 10 years or older recipe? And he's like, yes, that's what I meant to say. And he's like, I wouldn't do that to you. I'm like, because if you gave me a bunch of like 10-year-old lagers, I'm going to be pretty pissed. So, no.
Old school Wine World, you got to be careful there.
And I have had problems. I know that, I know it's hard to kind of stay on top of those date codes, but they have been a lot better.
Oh my gosh. And I actually went in there and Josh recognized me from, I have a Facebook page for my home brewing and he's recognized me and we talk for a bit and he's put tons of work in to sort out the shelf turds and
yes,
it's, seems like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, they really got it going. Although every now and then when I do find something that's still out of date code, I definitely give them shit about it. I'm just like, what is this?
Yeah.
What is this? But what I found out is if you have like an old one that you're pulling off the shelf, just look further behind.
Okay.
Like reach to the back and you'll probably find something that's much
Same way you buy fresher. Milk.
Yeah, totally. The milk ladies, you know, yeah. Like from the movie Clerks.
Yeah.
Same thing. So, speaking of, you were talking about Breadhead Brewing.
Correct.
Your homebrew. Oh, you brought something for
us. I did. I brought my latest Northeast IPA, and I called this one Milk Juice.
For what reason is it Milk Juice?
Because this is my first IPA that has lactose in it.
Nice.
And, you know, the hops I used were Vic's Secret, Apollo, and Simcoe. And, you know, it's juicy.
It's smells like it.
Got milk sugar, and I thought it was funny. That's about it.
I mean, it's definitely a hilarious name. It definitely is.
It's kind of like makes it sound so stupid when people say everything's so juicy and
yeah.
They add lactose and it's creamy. Yeah, just call it milk juice.
I like the name.
When you first opened it, pour. I swear I could smell it from 4 feet away, and it just kind of permeated the room. And I was kind of joking that it looked like mango
it
juice.
It does.
Yeah. But it smells like, oh my gosh, it smells like mango and it smells like tangerine. It's
yeah.
Got all kinds of great stuff in there.
No fruit in here whatsoever.
Yeah, it smells like fruity as hell. Like all the best citrus that the hop heads out there want to be smelling and tasting. And yeah, it's intoxicating the smell. I'm ready to try it. Oh my gosh.
Oh, this is great.
Jesus.
This is so good. So it tastes like all the fruit that we were smelling, plus it has this really great, hoppiness of, you know, I'm getting pine and citrus and grapefruit and just, it's awesome.
I agree with that. And I actually get more of a malt backbone to it than I thought I was going to get, honestly.
The malts I used, it's actually used Maris Otter, which I haven't used as a base malt before, and oats and wheat, mm-hmm. which is standard for a Northeast IPA. And then I added a touch of a light caramel malt for some color. So it does add like just a hint of malt to it that gets it away from like a hop tea. You know, it's not like hop water. It's got some beef behind it.
Well, it also, I get more of a bitterness on there than I thought I was going to get based off what you were telling me. I'm good with. I like that.
I do like a little, you know, there's a big thing is zero bitterness, and I like a little.
Yeah, me too.
It's still supposed to be low, and this one I use the same quantity of Magnum hops that I used in my previous Northeast IPAs, but for some reason this one came off a little more bitter than the previous. So I think maybe the excessive dry hopping kind of gives it a little perceived bitterness as well.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And the bitterness really seems to fade as it warms up also.
Yeah.
But I'm really, really happy with it.
Yeah,
really
it's
happy.
Juicy, it's smooth, it's got a little bit of that creaminess from the lactose. That's really good. I mean, I know I've said this to you before about some of your beers that I've had, production level, mm-hmm. like regular straight up brewery production level quality beer.
I appreciate hearing that.
I'm highly impressed by this, and I'm not sure if it was intentional or it's because of the fact that you had to transport it, but the carbonation is pretty low, and I've been purposely doing a lot of high pouring recently just to stir it up. Yeah, just to kill a lot of the carbonation because I feel like I'm able to enjoy the beer more.
Yeah.
For me personally, so I appreciate the fact that the carbonation level.
This one I actually struggled a bit with the carbonation. I force carbonate, which means you keg your beer and then you just set up the CO2 to.
It's like a soda stream.
Kind of, yeah. And, you know, there's a couple trains of thought. The best is to do the low and slow method where you set it and let it sit for maybe a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't about doing that because, you know, obviously you want this fresh.
Yeah.
There are keg hops in the keg, like suspended from the lid. So that keeps it kind of, I've had a lot of success, like, and I dangle them so that once the level gets to a certain point, it removes them from the beer it doesn't get grassy or anything like that.
They're like in a T-ball or something?
You get these mesh bags, and you just put the hops in and tie them off. And then I use like butcher string to... Mm-hmm. You can get a keg lid that has a welded tab in it so that you can tie things and dangle them in there.
I'll tell you. I think you could have a bunch of... Juice Bros hop heads mm-hmm. lined up at your house if you're doing a can release on this for sure. No, it's excellent.
I appreciate that.
And like I was saying, like it wasn't fully what I was expecting from the Northeast style, but that's good because it's a little more of a hybrid with like the West Coast style coming in with the bitterness and a little bit more of a malt backbone.
Yeah.
And that speaks to me even more than what I've been seeing with Northeast IPAs, New England IPAs.
Well, it's just funny. I mean, you were talking about how zero bitterness is kind of in, and mm-hmm. it's just, I'm probably retreading on somebody else's words, but it's just so funny how, you know, several years ago, it was a point of pride to have have as bitter of a beer you could, mm-hmm. like, you know, to,
trends,
you know, like palate wrecker is something I'm thinking about, and now it's just coming totally the other side of the coin where it's just, you know, bitterness is out.
You get that. I mean, yeah.
I'm glad I kind of missed that phase of beer.
Yeah. Yeah, I was caught up in it. I loved it at the time.
Did you?
But then I kind of leveled out and I was like, does it really need to be this bitter?
Right. Well, it's like you have to step back and it's like, is this pleasant?
Well, not only that, but they do say scientifically proven that you can't taste over 100 IBUs anyway. So when anyone's saying on their can or their bottle, over 100 IBUs or like 150 or whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just wasted hops. Proceed.
Yeah, exactly.
And a lot of
extra money spent.
And the other thing about this beer, I wanted to not use Galaxy. Not that I could get it anyway for this one. the shop just didn't have any, but... It makes things really easy when you use it. It's a great hop. I mean, it's just amazing, and it's kind of, you have to work a lot harder to fail with it. So I wanted to try some other ones, and Vic's Secret Challenge is awesome. It's like Galaxy Light, nice. And it's easy to get.
Right. Cool. Well, it's also, if something that's kind of fail-safe like that is, you don't know if you have bad habits or not.
Yeah, excellent. That's true. Very true.
So, awesome. We'll continue to kind of sip on that as we go. Thank you so much. That's great. So, for this 200th episode, we already laid out kind of what we're doing, but I decided we're going to scrap the head-to-head and NCAA-style bracketed tournament, and we're going to do it kind of how Rebecca and I did it at the last episode for 190, where we tasted all of them blind, all 12 of them, but we did one at a time, and we went all the way through it. You know, what does it look like? What does it smell like? What does it taste like? And then went ahead and did like actual number rating for the beer and then revealed what it is right then. We'll tear it open. We'll get it down. So this way, I figured that with the tournament, it would get to a point where we would taste a beer, then we would taste it again sometime later and then basically say, oh yeah, which beer was this again? So then we'd retread all the aroma notes and all the flavor notes, which was kind of annoying in a sense to describe the beer 2, 3, 4 times depending on where it was in the tournament. And it just got to be kind of tiresome. So we're going to do it this way. We're going to do the complete beer right then, and then we're going to find out what it is immediately. So then also, that way, it'll be fresh in their mind. Like, this is what they're tasting and smelling. Oh, that's the beer. Now that sounds good to me. I can go get it. So
it sounds perfect.
Be more helpful in that
sense. And also, your palate might shift.
Yes.
So, you know, true. You taste beer 1, and then later taste it after beer 12, and it's like, I don't remember what it tasted like earlier.
Yeah. Right. It's also things just like whatever's on your tongue affects the thing that you then put on it afterwards. Yes. So,
real life situations. That's what happens. And I'm gonna have to have my phone out to actually do like calculated math, because there's 3 of us doing numbers on these. If it was just 2 of us, that'd be an easy average. But I'm not going to...
Have some faith in yourself, man.
No. No. I'm going to have 0. We're
going to do 0. One question. Is there a territory restriction for these beers?
No.
Okay.
It's just what you heard.
Okay. So it's not U.S. only. It's...
Not U.S. only. It could be only U.S., but there could be stuff from outside of the U.S. Okay. I don't know.
I would honestly be surprised if there was a lot of foreign beers. I would be, but... It could be anything, so I don't know.
Well, I mean, they do have import sections at liquor stores, just people typically don't go in them.
Yeah.
There's good stuff there.
Wine World does have a whole row.
Yeah, pretty sizable. Yeah.
No one's ever there.
Yeah.
Ever. Except me every now and then.
Yeah.
I pop in.
Yep.
All right, so let's start with number 1. This one looks like... orangish, maybe a little reddish hue to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, reddish brown.
Yeah. Oh, and if you guys end up needing more water, just let me know. I got a refill over here. All right. So, yeah, it's kind of a little bit hazy, too. I can't really fully see through it, but smell. Smells malty.
Yeah, bready.
Caramel. Yeah. Definite on the caramel. Like a light one. It's a little bit of like a hay note in there as well for me. Light hop.
Very.
Just gives me, I don't know, it comes off, I feel like I get almost like a slight cherry. Not heavy, just like the slightest cherry note on there.
Hopefully that's not oxidation, right?
I'll find out. 10 years older or more.
This is a Corona Light.
Oh God. No, it smells good to me, though. I almost get, like, a slight bit of that kind of Smarties note that I get from certain hopping.
Yeah.
It smells fine. Also, it's a little bready.
Bready, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting no hop spice or anything. It just seems like straight malt to me.
Yeah. It's quite malty. But I like the smell.
Yeah. Well, I did a first sip on it, and it's got a pretty good bitterness on it. But plenty of malt backbone to rest on.
Mm-hmm. Little booze. Boozy.
Tastes almost a little inappropriate, to be honest. The booziness on the end there.
Yeah, and it has an aftertaste that I'm not enjoying very much.
Astringent.
The bitterness really lingers for me and just medicinal.
Yeah, it's medicinal. It's a really hard bitterness. It's a bit astringent. You taste a lot of alcohol to it.
Now, can we discuss what styles we think this might be?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like a barley wine to me.
Yeah.
I could see that. I do, like I was saying, I said I was smelling like a slight cherry. I feel like I get a very slight cherry flavor.
What about something like an old ale?
Or wee heavy?
Maybe. It's very bitter, though.
Yeah.
And it tastes like it's high alcohol.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it seems like about at least 10%-ish to me.
Mm.
I could definitely see it being a barley wine. Definitely could see that. I don't dislike it, because as I continue to sip it, I start to get a little more used to that end flavor.
Yeah,
right.
That bitterness lingers in a bad way.
I think that you would have to pair that with the right kind of food in order to enjoy it. But I couldn't just sip on that by itself.
I would want to eat it with something that has kind of a char to it. You know, like a steak that maybe has like some char marks on the grill or something like that.
I was thinking something like cherry pie or something.
Well, I wouldn't do that anyway. I hate cherry.
I could see
flavor sometimes.
But. To me, this is something I would enjoy, like if I had just shoveled the driveway from snow and then all cleaned up, showered, and have a nice bowl of chili that's been on the on the stove. And
it does have a wintry feel.
Oh yeah, it's definitely a warmer.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. All right, well, let's put some numbers on this, fellas. 1 to 10, we're doing the normal brutal battle style, but I told the guys, like, whatever numbers they feel like giving it, everyone can go their own way. I'm going to stick to my usual, everyone who listens, you know how I rate. 1 to 10, but never given a 10. I think I gave a 9 like 2 times, maybe.
I'm surprised you even did it that many times.
Yeah, no, it's happened. I'm pretty sure. So anyway... who wants to go first on the number for this one?
I got to think a second.
Okay,
You know yours?
Yeah, I'm going to
go ahead.
A 3. It's decent to me. I'm okay with the beer. I could drink it. But that, the bitterness is... Yeah. Bitterness is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna give this a 4. It's just okay to me.
Sure.
But it's not something I would reach for on purpose.
I agree with a 4 for mine. It's drinkable. It's boozy to me, which could be good in the right setting. It is very heavily bitter for my taste.
Yeah.
So it's not a bad beer, but it's not great.
So I should note that he's got all these Carlin's got all these wrapped up bottles and cans next to him with empties, and they're all in paper bags and then triple wrapped in packing tape. I don't know how you're going to open these, buddy.
Really an obscene amount of tape.
You have a razor blade knife?
Yeah.
No, I already have my strategy. I go in from the bottom.
Oh, that makes sense.
Is my idea. I was thinking about it before you guys got here.
All right.
Because like, Rebecca asked the same question. Yeah. She's like, how the hell are you going to get out of there?
You got a box cutter or something.
All right, so we'll go ahead. This gets an overall 3.67. So number one is...
If it's Bigfoot, I'm going to...
It is.
It's Bigfoot.
100%. Right. It's Sierra Nevada's Bigfoot Barley Wine.
All right.
Good call on that. ABV is... 9.6%.
I think we are pretty right on this one.
Yeah. This is their 2018, so...
Sit on this one for a bit.
100%. Yeah. I'm going to bet that bitterness goes away a lot.
Here's hoping.
If you age that sucker. This is a beer that they kind of, like, encourage people to age anyway, so...
It's super affordable. If you pick up a six pack, you try one and then sell her the rest, and you know, you could easily do verticals of this after a few years.
Yeah. Cracking open every 6 months to a year, see how it changes. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Got it. All right. Let's move on to number two then. See what we're gonna get for this one.
Get some water. Clear that. Yeah. Cleanse that palate off a little.
Yeah, there might be a decent amount of water needed for this. All right, so two looks actually really clear. I can see right through
that. The clarity is really on point.
Yeah, it's like dark apple juice.
Yeah, it's like an orangish brownish.
A little amber. Yeah. A little amber hue. I don't know.
Sure. Smell. That smells really malty.
Oh, yeah.
Like really, really malty. Ooh. It smells really similar to the Bigfoot barley wine, except not astringent.
Is this a surprise an all barley wine episode?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not in on this, so who knows? I mean, this kind of smells like it has a similar base, so it makes me feel like it's something like a Sierra Nevada Pale or something.
I mean, I'm personally getting something like. Like dirty dishwasher.
Okay.
Dirty dishwater.
That's fair. I get a little bit of like an earthiness.
Yeah.
You know, like.
That's a nice way of saying it.
Yeah. That's a nice way of saying garbage.
Detritus. No, I mean, it's a little bit of like dirt, kind of.
Yeah.
Like an earthy dirt.
Mushroomy.
Yeah, a little bit of that.
It's pretty pleasant to me, the smell. It's not, I mean, all these words could sound bad if,
yes.
But we don't mean them that way.
Yeah,
not all the time, anyway.
I don't hate it. I do get some of that kind of like straw, like I said, I was getting on the first one, too.
The carbonation really stirs up nice.
Yeah. Lots of malt in that sucker. All right, I'm ready to try it.
It's very smooth. Very smooth.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's smooth as shit.
Yeah, that's really nice.
Mm. Dude, that beer is so easy.
I'm having trouble, like, gauging this style.
I was thinking something... I think I'm wrong, but it's something it's like a Vienna lager or something like that.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know if this says lager to me, though.
Maybe Marzen.
The Marzen.
I mean, the clarity could be one indicator of a... of a type of lager. Like,
because this is a very neutral beer, and it's just smooth and bready and not much else.
Yeah,
it's smooth and bready, and that kind of like earthiness we were talking about, it's there, but it's not as pronounced in the flavor as it is in the nose. This is a super easy beer. Actually, you know what? I could see it being like Devil's Backbone Vienna Lager, honestly. From what I remember of that beer.
Okay.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean.
It brought me around to it.
Yeah. I wonder if this is something. I mean, it's been a while since I had it, but it could be Boston Lager. Like.
It could be. It very well could be.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've had that beer. So, yeah. I mean, honestly, I've probably most or all of these beers I've probably not had in the last 5 or more years would be my guess.
Right. I mean, we're given the benefit of knowing that these are respected 10-plus-year-old recipes.
Right.
So the beers have got to be well known. So so a fun thing for us to do is just to be guessing exact beers on these.
Yeah. And
this is solid brew.
Yeah. Trying to equate it with a beer really helps put it, like, for a listener's perspective. Might chime. Help them see what we're seeing.
I could definitely see that being a lager style. Dan, I do think I could see it.
Pulled you around.
It was tough at first, but the more I keep tasting it, there's like a low hop on there. Like,
I
get some hop bitterness.
It's nice though.
Yeah, this is definitely a malt forward beer.
Yeah. I think it's pleasant though.
It's
definitely one that I would think of to be good with food.
Yeah.
Just like any food. Like, a very neutral, easy.
Something edible.
You could pay attention to this beer. You could easily not pay attention to this beer. But
not Tide Pods, though.
Don't do that. Come on, people.
I swear that's not a thing.
It's like I agree. I don't think it's a thing.
No, it's like two people did it, and then the world flipped
blew
out.
Up.
You're probably right. You're probably right about that.
I'm going to go ale on this. Just
okay.
Just to be the contrarian at the moment.
I honestly, you know,
I'm not getting the level of crispness that I would expect from something. I mean, yeah, a Vienna lager can be malty, but it usually has a still a nice refreshing quality to me sometimes. Yeah, I don't know if I'm getting that. I'm getting more of a fuller, little maybe some esters on the nose. So I wouldn't be surprised if I'm wrong, but
it's almost a little candied on the finish. It's almost got like a candy sweetness.
Hmm.
Whatever it is, I'm really enjoying it.
It is good.
Yeah, it's definitely pleasant.
I'm good with that one. So, numbers. I'm going to go 4 on that one. I'm going to 4. All right.
Jason, I'm going to go 5.
Going to 5?
I'm going to go 5 as well.
Okay. We're going the Carlin plus 1.
Hey, you know what? Someone's got to even me out, you know?
It's a good beer.
It is. So that gets a 4.67, so a full point higher than the last one.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of one-thirds and two-thirds on this.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I'm messing up my stacks over here now. All right, so overall 4.67, pretty respectable. Oh, no.
Oh.
My entry point on the bottom is not as clear. Number 2 is... slide this. Oh, okay. Interesting. This is Victory Brewing's Hop Devil IPA.
Wow.
Wow.
From what I associate with IPAs, I would not have thought this.
What's the date code? Do they date their bottles?
They do. Enjoy by... it's hard to see it, but sometime in March. So we're recording...
2018?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I mean, we're recording in February, so it's within what they recommend here. ABV is 6.7%. This is an old IPA, you know? Like,
really,
It's been around for a long time.
And it just shows that none of us were thinking IPA at all.
No, not at all. And that probably has to do more with what
how the style has changed
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's totally true. Wow. Okay. This is an eye opener. I can't believe I couldn't pick out an IPA. That's nuts. Although that taste, that's good.
It's good.
It's good to know that I still like that beer because I remember liking that beer.
And the bitterness seems, since you think of a 10 plus year old IPA recipe, the bitterness on this is very, very approachable and pleasant.
Yeah.
A lot less than what I would expect.
Yeah. More like kind of like European or British style. Mm-hmm.
So I will say that Victory's Hop Devil has a special place in my heart because not only did I like it a lot back in the day and drink an okay amount of it, but on my wedding day, I didn't have much time and I wanted to have some beer. It was the only beer I had that day. So I will forever associate Hop Devil with my wedding day, which was about 7 years ago. Now,
okay.
A little over 7 years ago. So good job, Victory. You're still making good stuff, although... sorry, we can't recognize it as an IPA based off current
flavors.
Yeah, the industry of now. It's very different.
Where's the haze, guys?
where we were seriously wondering if this was Boston Lager or not.
Or Vienna Lager, you know.
That's amazing.
All right, we're learning some things. This is throwback.
Yeah,
I'm loving it. Let's go with number 3. This one's pretty dark.
Yeah, it's like a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah,
I do see a reddish hue.
Yeah, slightly
yes, around the edges, but I can't really see through it.
No.
Smells?
I'm getting dried cherries.
Yeah.
There you go. I almost get a little bit of an umami type smell. Mm. Like a savoriness.
Okay. What you're all describing so far are off flavors.
Oops.
We'll see.
I almost get a little bit of... now, feel me on this. Very, very slight cocoa. It's kind of weird.
I don't disagree with that. I can go there once you plant that in my head. I can get there.
Yeah, I would never have thought that until you said it.
And then I smell... something else I smell in there. I'm trying to figure out what that is. I definitely get that cherry you're talking about, though, Dan.
It's a rich aroma to me.
Right. It is.
Very rich. Full.
I mean, right. And it's not, it's, I don't want to make it sound too bad, but I get a slight medicinal quality to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that. After I've been sniffing it a lot, I can definitely see that. It's definitely super malty.
But I'm smelling pretty hard. So.
Yeah, a lot of malt sweetness. Actually, the more I keep sniffing it, I almost get a little bit of a raisin note.
I was going to say like a raisiny, prunish type of.
But there's a weird kind of like slight tartness on the nose when I keep sniffing it too.
Hopefully it's not like that sour Pilsner we had.
Which actually ended up being pretty damn tasty though. I will say there were a few beers that gushed when we opened them, so...
Okay.
And
good
I don't remember which ones they were,
okay.
So I don't know.
I'm going to taste.
Yeah, let's go in.
So I took a sip, and we're getting a lot... I'm getting a lot of that raisin, prune, cherry note.
Yeah.
It's like those dark dried fruits that we talked about.
Definitely.
It's a lot thinner than I thought it was going to be. It's good. I am getting a little bit of like... like cherry NyQuil or Robitussin kind of, but that's not the dominant flavor. But I'm getting a little bit in there.
Mm-hmm. There is a tartness on the back end.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really say infection. It's just a flavor.
Yeah, I agree. It's coming off as like more of like a cherry tartness, which I do taste a lot of the cherry in there. It's super malty. I see what you're saying about like the Robitussin kind of medicinal, which goes along with the cherry.
Right.
Right. There's a decent bitterness on the end.
I think the raisin is more powerful than the cherry though.
Yes, I would agree with that. I could see this as some sort of Bock.
That's what I was going to say. It seems like an old school.
Like Celebrator or something.
Yes, exactly. And the head, from what I remember that beer. Like, the head just looks identical.
So, Bock's a lager, so you think it's a lager?
Yes.
Yeah. It tastes a lot like a Bock to me. Like, it's just got that feel. All the flavor notes.
Yeah.
Especially with the cherry. Like, that cherry's usually a really good indicator with a light body like that.
And the flavors, I feel like they're coming from the malt and not the yeast to me. So, I would definitely say it's a lager.
I dig it. It's decent.
Yeah.
It's not crazy
awesome. It's kind of thin from like what you would expect from the smell and the flavor, and the fullness just isn't there for me.
Yeah, typically those aroma notes would indicate that if the flavors translate to exactly that, you're going to have more of a viscosity to the beer. It is very thin, so it kind of takes you aback a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not bad. I enjoy it, but... I'm not, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. It's not knocks my socks off, but it is enjoyable.
I'm going 3.
You're going 3? I'm actually going to go 4 this time, too.
Okay.
I'm gonna say 4. It's,
All right. So it's a 3.67. Just like the first beer.
Okay.
It's got the same rating as the Sierra Nevada Bigfoot. All right. My numbers all screwed. Oh, this was one that kind of gushed, I think.
Okay.
Based off the feel of the bag. Yep, because it's wet on the bottom.
Does the fact that it gushes tell you anything about what it could be?
I don't know. I don't know enough. I mean, usually that could be a sign of an infection.
Yeah.
Which, don't know. I wasn't really getting that in the flavors.
All right. Overall, 3.67. Woo. Okay. Oh. It's a West Mall Trappist Ale. It's their double.
Wow.
And it is 7% alcohol by volume.
Interesting. That one threw me.
It's best before November of 2019.
Okay.
So it's still within.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, here's the thing with Trappists. They change a lot over time. They're definitely like chameleon beers. I mean, I didn't hate it.
No.
I didn't love it.
And honestly, if I had pulled that off the shelf, opened it up, knowing the ABV was in the 7s, I would have understood how kind of aqueous it comes off.
Yeah.
The thinness is kind of explained, because how much fullness do you expect from a 7% beer? Don't know.
Right.
It seems okay for that ABV.
I say that it's improving the more I drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, like, it's decent.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right, let's go on number four. This one looks really orange.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very clear. And it just looks nice. Looks really nice and pretty. It's beautiful. Does this smell slightly butterscotch? And orange?
I can see that.
Yeah. Orange butterscotch?
It's hard for me to get much.
Like orange the fruit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like orange butterscotch, but neither of those notes are super strong.
Yeah.
It's very low on the aroma, I would say.
I would say that too.
Definitely low on the aroma. It smells decent malt. I don't really smell much of any bitterness.
No. I'm really struggling to get any smells out of this, honestly.
I mean, if I snorted it, I might get something, but...
Yeah, can you powder this so I can make lines out of it?
Probably better off just tasting it, I would say. I definitely get that orange, though. All right, James, I don't think there's much more to
James, you out. Just made a face. What's going on?
Did you call him James?
Jason.
All right.
All right. Four beers in, Dan. Come
I've
on.
Heard your name once. All right.
Four beers in.
He did pound that barley wine.
There you go. Dan's not driving anywhere. He's sleeping on the curb.
That's fine. Man, this is very neutral tasting.
It is. Super neutral.
What did I just drink?
I don't know.
Did I actually take
a
sip?
It's like a palate cleanser.
Yeah, there's not much of anything going on.
Maybe
there.
This is the Vienna lager.
Maybe. Maybe it's like an amber ale.
But there's a
fat Irish type of beer.
It comes off like that. Totally like an amber, like a super simple.
Like a non-offensive beer that you can hand to anyone. And they're not going to complain too much.
There is like a creaminess to it. Mm-hmm. Like the texture is nicely thick.
I get a slight apple on the finish. There's a slight apple.
Yeah, I get that too.
And it's just got a lot of like, it's got like a spent malt grain finish as well to go with that. That's beer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a beer, man. It's not something I would want to continue to drink, really.
It's okay.
That's something that I can drink it at a party if I don't want to pay attention to what I'm drinking. You know, like you're deep into conversation and you just want something that you don't necessarily want to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's not a ringing endorsement. But I'm going to give it a 2.
I'm actually going to go 3 on this one.
Okay.
It's a little better than a 2 to me in my head.
Sure.
It has a very mild kind of lingering unpleasantness for me.
Right.
So I'm gonna say a 3.
Okay.
Dan and I are in sync.
2.67 for this beer. Yeah, you guys are going the same on everything. Like one more than me. Like everything. All right, let's see what number 4 was here. Great. Grab this sucker. Number 4, overall 2.67. Should be hard to get into. Oh, I can't remember the last time I had this beer. This is Anchor Brewing, their Anchor Steam beer.
All right.
Oh, wow.
I don't even remember what this tastes like, to be honest, but that's what it is. Now owned by Sapporo, I believe. Japanese.
Correct.
Owned. What's the ABV on this? Find it.
It'd be really pretty low.
I'm sure it's like crazy.
Like fours.
Low. I don't even see the ABV on it.
Honestly. I do love the Anchor bottles. They're super cool.
They call them stubbies.
Can I see that bottle? They're short and fat.
Yeah.
And then the neck doesn't, it flares immediately.
Yeah. This takes me back actually to my honeymoon. We flew into San Francisco, did wine country, and actually toured Anchor. It was such a cool place.
Well, Anchor is one of the what's considered one of the really landmark original craft breweries, isn't it?
I believe, and you know, they shut down during the Prohibition era, and I think they didn't when on the tours, they didn't like admit that they were still brewing during Prohibition, but they kind of alluded to that.
Like winked at you. Yeah. And they're like, we weren't brewing.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Why not just say it? Like, if the statute of limitations is passed.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Someone should have said that to him. Just like yelled from the back of the tour, statute of limitations is passed.
I need to look the ABV up on this because I'm curious.
Yeah, it's got to be like five.
Five or six.
Yeah, maybe even in the fours, to be honest.
Let me see.
Yeah, I can't remember. Actually, when I say I can't remember the last time I had this beer, maybe I've never had this beer. It is quite possible I've never had this beer. But honestly, here's something to kind of discuss briefly. Do you think there's really a place for that beer in today's beer community?
I think all of its, not all of it, a lot of its cachet comes from just from its reputation and history.
Correct. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, I'm gonna bet that the majority of people who are still drinking that beer are drinking it because they're like, I mean, it's Anchor Steam.
Yeah, it's a classic.
Yeah, right. It's not that like,
but you know what?
It's an amazing beer.
Sierra Nevada Pale Ale has that same cachet and it tastes great.
It's timeless.
I mean, I can't tell you the last time I had that beer, so the Sierra Nevada Pale. So I don't know what I would say about that.
It's 4.9% Anchor Steam.
4.9, got it. So it's been a long time. Show my ignorance. The Steam beer is its own style.
It's called, they call it, I think Anchor Steam has like a trademark on Steam beer.
Okay.
So everyone else has to call it like a California Common.
Okay, got it.
If I'm not mistaken.
Got it.
But is using steam part of its brewing process?
No, it has... The story I kind of remember is when they cooled the beer, I think they, like, put it up. It was up on the roof. And because it was so hot, it would, you could see steam coming off of it. The story goes something like that. And a California Common is... It's like a lager, I think, that's not lagered. It's like at room different, not lager temp.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just trying like to ale temperature.
Yeah, I'm trying to jog my memory on what it is.
Interesting.
It's something that I probably will never brew.
So California, well, yeah. So California Common is a style I've heard before, but
yeah,
I've never been told like an example. So if that's accurate,
yeah, I've never heard those. I've never heard of a California Common. So
yeah, it is a style. Well, we'll see if I look it up after we record this, if I'm full of shit or not.
Yeah, well, I'll look it up and see that.
Well, you can just read Carlin's angry emails.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Idiot.
I went back to the milk juice real quick.
Yeah, actually.
God damn. After having these older style beers.
Yeah, that's the most, your beer is the most highly flavored thing on the table so far.
Yes. It's probably going to stay that way, to be honest, would be my guess.
The Bigfoot was pretty highly flavored also.
Yeah, decent. All right, let's go to number five. Also very orange. Probably even...
Yeah.
Even lighter orange.
Yeah, very, very clear and filtered also.
Yeah. It looks like another steam beer.
Very little head. It does look like it's sticking to the sides a little bit.
That smells more hopped. There's an okay bitterness in the nose. Still quite malty.
Yeah, and I am getting something like apple juice.
Yeah, I got an apple note too.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I get a slight orange after the apple.
I'm just getting of whatever.
Do leaf. I get just I, like a slight grape?
I mean, I'm not getting that, but I'm getting a lot of whatever yeast this is also.
Yeah, it does smell yeasty. That's a good point. It does have a yeasty nose. I think it smells decent.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like, there's not a ton to pick out of it, really.
And same goes for the flavor.
Wow. It's very, you know.
I mean, you mentioned Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. And now that's kind of stuck in my head. I don't think this is it, because this one tastes a little more lighter on the palate to me.
This is really drying.
It is dry, yeah.
Super drying.
Right, which could be good in context.
Yeah. This is a decent beer.
Yeah, Yeah. It's just washes, and it's, yeah, this is something that you just totally eat with, drink with anything or with nothing.
Right.
And it's
like champagne of beers. A champagne amongst beers. Mm. I do get that apple flavor. Like, there's a bit of an apple-y finish to it. It's got a little bit of, yeah, like a funky, dirty dish rag note on the end, too. But it's not, like, yummy. Overpoweringly bad.
I don't hate this. It's pretty neutral to me. It's not giving me much. It's not giving me much, good or bad, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
I'm going 2. I gotta go 2 again. Just like the Anchor Steam.
I'll give this a 3.
Dan gives it that 3.
Actually, I'm going to go with Carlin on this one and do a 2.
You broke the cycle.
I did.
That's going to get a 2.33, so just slightly below the Anchor Steam.
Anyone have a style guess before we look at it? Is this an amber ale? Is this a pale ale?
It's not malty enough to be a pale ale.
No.
Is it a Vienna lager?
The dryness says lager to me.
And I can't even venture a guess. My head's all over the place with those styles that I just mentioned.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an amber ale. I'd be surprised if it was an amber ale.
Well, fine. It's number 5. Yep. All right, overall 2.33, which is actually the lowest number thus far. 5 beers. Ugh. Oh. Duclaw Brewing's Bare Ass Blonde Ale. 5% alcohol by volume. Blonde.
I don't think I've had this since my 21st birthday.
Wow.
Was your 21st at Duclaw?
I went there. That's where I got my first legal beer. It was this beer.
Now I think that 10 years is not old enough.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine Duclaw being in that 10-plus year category, but...
Well, like, this is how you know you're old now.
Yeah, no kidding.
When you're like, that's a 10 years older or more recipe-wise?
Yeah. Originally, when we came up with the concept, I was thinking of, like, early craft beer.
Yeah.
And I don't think of this beer as being early craft beer.
Well, you got that with the Anchor Steam and the Bigfoot. The Bigfoot, didn't they do their first Bigfoot in, like, the late 70s, I think? I
don't know.
I think it was that long ago. Like, that's an old, old recipe
for that one. True.
The Steam and the Bigfoot are really old recipes.
The Anchor Steam is much older than the Bigfoot is.
The West Mall Double Trappist is probably really old, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's gotta be.
This definitely seems out of place in the lineup. Just
it does.
From a historical beer perspective.
Yes. Although, I mean, like, for me personally, I've talked about it before, like, Duclaw got me into craft beer.
Yeah.
Because they were, you know, not far from me.
Yep. And,
you know, they were a really good gateway for me to get to craft beer from crappy macro stuff. And they had a lot of easily accessible stuff, like the Bare Ass Blonde, which I started more with their Misfit Red Ale.
Okay. Another, like, nice, malty-ish light drinker. Yeah. Approachable beer.
Yeah. I never really was into the Bare Ass Blonde, but Misfit Red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went to college in Wisconsin. That's a different story. But I went to college in Wisconsin, and so the local brewery that people loved, that was, you know,
New Glarus?
No, it was Leinenkugel.
Yeah, that's a Wisconsin brewery. Yeah. And now they're macro owned, right?
Yeah, they've been macro owned for a while now. So wait a minute, you're from California originally, and you went to school in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I became convinced that I wanted to go to a small liberal arts college. So all of my colleges were these very small, no name places.
Or you just really wanted to get close to Leinenkugel.
Yeah.
There's that possibility. All right, let's move on to beer 6. And we're hitting the halfway point here. This is really red when you hold it up to the light.
Yeah, like purple. Oh, yeah. It's almost purplish.
it looks like scotch ale to me, basically. Pretty clear, though.
Yeah. Very.
See through it.
Very beautifully clear.
Ooh, wow. Yeah,
that's a malt.
Ooh, man.
Ooh. And I'm getting cherry again.
Yeah, I'm definitely getting cherry. I'm getting almost a little overripe banana.
You guys like shoved cherries up your nose before I got here?
Hey, look, all the kids are doing it. It's the next thing after the Tide Pods.
It's the cherry snort.
Yeah. I get a slight brown sugar.
Yeah, brown sugar.
A little overripe banana, like I said. Yeah. I get a little overripe. Oh, what was that?
Sorry.
You have a very wet crotch now.
Yeah, I spilled it myself.
That makes two of us.
I can get you a towel.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to just move on.
Do you want a towel?
Yeah.
Okay, I will do that for you.
Yeah, I was stirring it up, and then I just was overzealous.
You still have a lot in your glass, though. You caught it pretty well.
Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that a move you perfected in college?
I don't know what I would be trying to accomplish by that.
The wet crotch shot.
They call that the Wisconsin swirl.
Yeah, the Wisconsin. Oh, man, that sounds so dirty. But that's what it'll be known as from now on. The old Wisconsin swirl. I've done that before, by the way, on the podcast.
Have you sipped this yet?
Mm-hmm.
No, I haven't, but it smells really nice. It smells like it's a really nice
super,
scotch.
It's really smooth. Like, I'm not tasting any hops at all.
Yeah, it's delicious. I like it.
Ooh.
It's rich.
Wow.
Caramelly to me.
Yeah.
Now, this tastes like a really proper Bock to me. Or a Scotch Ale. Those kind of seem like interchangeable, in my opinion.
It doesn't seem big enough to be a Scotch Ale.
True. The mouthfeel is really nice on this beer. It's like a nice medium viscosity.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of cherry to it, a little bit of that brown sugar like I was talking about.
Yeah. Kind of like, like caramel notes again, and this is nice.
Really good.
Really good beer. Mm.
And this is
super clean.
Which Duclaw beer is this, I wonder?
I'm gonna bet there are probably no brewery repeats in this lineup. I mean, I guess
he probably would try not to do that.
Mm-hmm. So much cherry out of that. Now, that makes me wonder if this is something like a Celebrator.
Yeah, I can't argue that.
Like an old-school German-style Bock.
I'm going to agree with a longer call, though.
Yeah.
The clarity is just, like clear as day. It's really, really nice looking.
And it's got such a clean finish.
It does.
So clean.
Dry, a little dry on the palate.
I'm really enjoying its mouthfeel, too. Like you said, it's just smooth and creamy, and it just goes down pretty well.
I'm going to give it a 4. I like it. Pretty solid.
5.
I'm going to go 5 as well.
All right. So 4.67. So that ties the best showing with the Victory Hop Devil IPA.
I mean, I couldn't move it up anymore, but I enjoyed the Hop Devil more.
Okay. All right. So 6 overall, 4.67. Get through this bag at the bottom. All right. There we go. Oh, it's a Bock.
Oh, Troganator.
Trogues Independent Brewing's Troganator Double Bock beer.
A double Bock.
I actually have some of this in my fridge right now.
8.2% alcohol by volume. It's Yeah, this is a beer that for some time was winning a lot of medals at GABF. It was like annually winning at least something medal-wise.
It's really well done within its style. It's just,
yeah.
I'm happy to see that even tasting it blind, I enjoyed it. Because not too long ago, I went to Liquor Stop, which is my local beer monger, and I asked Jerry there if he had any Bock, and then Troganator popped in my head. He had it in the fridge, and yeah, it just really fit the craving that I was looking for.
See, now this is kind of what I think about when, you know, you're talking earlier about like a winter after you were out shoveling.
Yeah.
Like this is
it's
what
nice.
I think about. Rich, dark fruit flavors, a little bit of that like brown sugar coming through. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
So this one you drink after you shovel, and then the Bigfoot you drink while you're shoveling.
Not too much of the Bigfoot, Jesus. That could be crazy.
I don't think you're shoveling hard enough. What are you doing?
Yeah, you're right. I have a snowblower.
I also just like that Dan's currently sitting with the towel just on his crotch now. Like, it's...
What else would you have me do?
Yeah.
I mean, you can throw it on the floor. It's fine. It's not a big deal. It's going to be embarrassing if Rebecca comes into the room. I'm just, you know, so maybe, yeah, just put the towel over your crotch. No, she's hearing it all, so she knows, actually. Yeah. So it's all good.
She's getting a play-by-play.
Which she never came down to get her milk juice.
That sounded creepy.
Yeah, no, it did. It's up there with the Wisconsin swirl. It's like,
would it be better if you called it Jason's milk juice?
Go to my house, maybe do a little Wisconsin swirl, and you can have some of my milk juice.
Mm. That sounds like the worst porn ever.
We're the best, depending on who you are, honestly. Depends on who you are. All right, so let's go on to 7. This is the lightest beer by far in color.
Yeah,
definitely light.
Slight orange to it, but mainly yellow.
And like I think it's indicative of just how crazy just kind of the trends of what was happening 10 plus years ago, but every single beer we've had has been highly filtered.
Yes. No, that's true. Like, mm-hmm. Haziness is definitely... Actually, I don't think... The first beer was kind of cloudy. The Bigfoot barley wine was a little bit hazy, but other than that, I'm looking real quick, all of them are super clear. And this one's like crazy clear.
Yeah, this is just like dark yellow.
Like your morning pee, this is what this looks like.
I get almost...
A little fruitiness. Getting a little fruitiness.
There's a little fruitiness, but I feel like I get almost like a coffee.
I can see the... Yeah.
Weird. I was not expecting that out of this, but it's like a roasty coffee.
I doubt they even brewed with coffee.
Yeah, I know.
10 years ago.
So I'm wondering what that's from.
It's from the hop. That's what it's from.
Because it's like... Just like...
Yeah.
Charred almost.
So once you said coffee, that planted in my brain, and I'm thinking it's more like a green coffee than it is a roasty coffee.
Get a little Play-Doh-y note, like a weird smell.
There's no way of saying Play-Doh in a nice way.
Yeah,
I didn't mean that nice.
You meant to crap all over this. Yeah,
a little plasticky.
Like this smells like a lot of beers I've drank before.
All mixed together.
Yeah. No, I second that. I hear what you're saying about it smells like a lot of beers that you've had. Yeah, it's got a generic type smell to it.
I mean. This could be a lot of stuff.
I hear you on the plastic. Mm.
I don't know.
There's an okay hop note in the flavor, though.
Yeah, I'm really so it doesn't have any. There's nothing like poking out of this. It's in a very,
very
clean envelope and
balanced.
And it's mouthfeel again. It's got a really nice mouthfeel to it.
It's got a very quick, like citrusy hop note on it, but then it finishes kind of clean and reminds me of like a Prima Pils, to be honest.
Right, and I don't want to say juicy because it's not juicy at all, but it's whatever the opposite of dry is.
Someone say juicy. This is a moist beer. It's a very moist beer.
But it stays with you. It doesn't dissipate like the dry one that we were talking about. What was that? 5 or whatever that was.
I like it. It's easy but flavorful.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's like it's light in the mouthfeel, but appropriately so. That's nice. I like the citrusy punch that it has.
I'm struggling with a style guess. I really don't know where this fits in.
I like that.
Maybe
beer.
This is an amber.
Maybe. It could be like a Fat Tire.
Oh, no. Fat Tire's not that good.
No, Fat... I've
Plus, had, it's not this light, I don't think.
I had Fat Tire maybe a year and a half ago, and it was so malty. I just remember it was being very malty.
The only time I really liked Fat Tire... I didn't even like Fat Tire the first time I had it, which had to have been about 10 years ago, maybe. Somewhere around there. The only time I really enjoyed Fat Tire is when they did that pack, the Fat Tire and Friends pack
Had out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they did all sorts of stuff to it. Like, they did, like, an apple sour version and a wild version.
Right. I remember I got that pack, too, and I remember... I remember not liking hardly any of them because I didn't like the base beer of, I didn't like the base beer of Fat Tire. So,
well, I will tell you, it's probably a good rule. Don't get a whole pack of beer if you don't like the base.
Yeah, but
it.
I didn't know at the time that I didn't like Fat Tire.
Okay, you had never had Fat Tire at that point. Oh, okay. Well, that's a little different, I guess.
But I was bringing it to a big party, so most of it got drank by other people. So.
Oh, well then, you're fine?
Yeah.
No, yeah, all good.
I mean, I made sure to taste one, a little bit of each one.
You waited until people put the beer down and then just swooped in and took a quick sip and it walked away.
It was a party that took place over several days.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is this one of those Wisconsin swirl parties? Or?
No, this is, no.
Sounds like a bender. Anyway,
I'll go first this time.
Okay.
I'm going to go 4 on this one.
Gotcha.
It's pleasant. It's, the flavors are nice. That bad aroma. Once I tasted it, it was hard to get back to that bad aroma. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having this.
I'm going to go 4 as well. I just think it's very, very slightly below average, but it's perfectly drinkable for most occasions.
I like this beer. I'm also going 4. This is the first time we're all on the same page.
So, do you still need to punch it in your calculator?
I probably should, just to be safe now. All right. Oh.
And I just want to comment that Carlin managed to use 2 of the most disgusting words in the English language so far today.
Oh, you're a moist person.
Moist and yeasty. Yeah.
Yeah. You're a moist. You're one of those.
Is yeasty considered to be that disgusting?
I think that's even worse than moist.
It's a good point. I guess most people don't really say it.
No.
Unless someone's like, how are you feeling today? I'm feeling a little yeasty.
Okay, no one has ever said that.
You better hit the right age then.
No one has, yeah. The word yeasty is only gross because of yeast infections.
Yes, yeah, you're probably
true story.
Right. But I'm going to start using that. I'm just going to say to someone randomly, like, I feel yeasty today.
Okay.
And see what happens.
No, this bread is yeasty. How else would you use it?
Okay, what does that sound? But that sounds fine.
Right.
Exactly. It sounds like a normal sentence.
Right. But I'm trying to see if I can elicit the bad response. That's what I want.
You're trying to trigger them.
Yes. I want to see how offensive I can make it. All right. So let's do reveal what this one is. Number 7. Overall 4. That's a good rating. I think we both pretty much enjoy this. We all like it. This one's kind of in here a little more snug. God. All right, had to fight that one. Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Dogfish Head Brewing's 60-minute IPA, 6% alcohol by volume. Would you call that an IPA?
No. Honestly, no.
Kind of see it with that citrusy kick that's on there. But, I mean, based off today's industry standards, probably wouldn't really think that.
And that makes me really... I liked what I drank there. It was good. And I'm wondering, has Dogfish made a worthwhile IPA recently?
So I got to say, I heard good things about their Truth Serum that came out. I have not had that.
I have not had that either.
I have not had that. I heard good things. But I would argue that it's not a straight up IPA, but their romantic chemistry is good.
I just had a bottle of that...
What are they labeling that beer as?
That's an IPA. They call it an IPA, a fruited IPA.
It's got like
apricots in it.
Okay.
Is it like apricot?
I haven't had it, so.
It's got a few fruits thrown into it. I like it. I think it's a good beer. That's probably, in my opinion, the best IPA.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Just, I don't know. I just, for a brewery that was such a trendsetter, I don't know anymore.
Well, you know, that's the thing. It's a combination of the industry changing and people's tastes changing, and also, like, will that brewery be able to keep up with keeping their finger on the pulse of the drinkers' preferences? You know, like, I feel like a brewery that's really struggled hard, you know, speaking of one of the breweries we had in this, like Duclaw, I feel like they've really struggled over the years to... stay relevant with what drinkers want, you know?
Yeah, but those two breweries, it's hard to compare them because Ducal is still trying to break out of its region, you know, whereas...
No, they distribute all the way to New York, man.
Okay, New York is not that far away.
And I saw them in North Carolina, so they're at least as far south as North Carolina.
That's three states in either direction.
And they're in Ohio. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's a decent footprint. Yeah, but
that's far from national.
And right, but it's a decent footprint is what I'm trying to say.
Right, so, but you talking about Dogfish, Dogfish had... its reputation is one of a respected brewery known for being experimental and known for pushing the envelope in as far as what ingredients they do. And that's, they're not known as an IPA brewery.
Yeah, that's true. Well, because they throw themselves all over the place, right. Like intentionally. And they've been wildly successful with their Sequench Ale.
Yeah, that beer's ridiculous. It's so good to me.
Took 7 years for them to perfect that. Recipe. But
that beer's great.
I follow Ducal, and I still feel like they're trying to find their identity. I mean, I know they seem to have had some money issues within the past 6 months. They were looking for investors.
Yeah.
And I never heard if they got any, but I know they're canning now, which is what they were trying to get money for.
Well,
and
it's... I'm sorry.
They pulled in... what brewery are they pulling? Raven.
Raven beer.
Yeah. Which,
No bueno. Well, they I don't know if they still are, but they at least were contract brewing for OC Brewing, Ocean City Brewing, which is garbage. That's terrible. Yeah.
That beer needs... That stuff is junk.
It's also blood money, in my opinion. The guy who started that made that money off of fraud, and I'm sorry, I can't support the idea to do contract brewing for them. So, yeah. Like, I like Duclaw, but I deplore that decision.
Yeah.
Personally, but I also understand that, like, they got to pay bills.
Yeah.
And especially when, you know, we were talking about they were having some money issues, you got to pay bills.
Well, but, I mean, everything that has to do with OC just leaves a bad taste in your mouth, whether it's their beer or their restaurant or just... just everything they do is just gets bad reviews, honestly.
Yeah, because they suck.
But you know,
terrible.
Just going back to that 60-minute, we were just struggling to decide what we thought it was.
Yeah.
And part of it is just where modern today's beer is that they're hopping everything. You know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what happened is 60-minute was 60 minutes continuously hopping, and that was a revolution. And so people took that, started new breweries, used that as their starting point, and built on top of it.
Right, right. And so, like, now you can... if you had called that a hoppy amber, no one would blink at it. Like, yeah. You know?
Well, I said it reminded me of a Prima Pils. So, like, just like a hoppy. I mean, that's way off.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at least I got the hoppy aspect of it. I mean, but that said, like, it did pretty well. Like, we all liked it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Tasty.
Yeah. Right.
So, anyway, I guess we should move on to number 8.
Indeed.
Which looks pretty... reddish, yeah, reddish brownish.
Again, super, super clear.
Clear as hell. Ooh,
not much carbonation left in there.
What is that smell?
Ooh, man, big malt.
This smells like a German. It smells like Celebrator. I'm calling that. Calling it.
He's calling it. He says Celebrator. Yeah, I get the cherries again.
Yeah.
Good God, what's with the cherries, man?
Yeah, I didn't even want to say cherries because we were ridiculed for it already.
I don't want to say it because I feel like it's been said so much that I'm just like, it's just in my head at this point, but...
It does. It smells great, though.
It's all smooth. Once again, I get like a little alcohol tingle in my nose at the end of each sniff.
I mean...
dark fruits for me.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe a little bit of fig in there.
Rich.
No, dates. A little bit of dates, not fig. Different.
Screw your fig!
I don't really like either of those fruits, but, you know, Just saying. I feel like I got like a slight banana.
I'm getting a little bit of pomegranate.
Mm. Okay. That's a bold statement, but I see what you're saying. I'm just saying that nobody brings up pomegranate barely ever, so it's...
I grew up eating like quite it. A lot of pomegranate, so...
Well, that's probably the big difference. Not a lot of people do. So. All right, let's try this. So I feel like there might be almost like a peaty smokiness on the nose.
This is rich.
It's really sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, holy shit.
Yeah, I know.
Whoa.
You didn't expect it to punch you, but it does.
Oh. Whoa.
So sugary. We're getting those fruits we were talking about, and a lot of sweetness.
Did they ferment this thing?
Maybe it's not a celebrator.
Holy
can shit. Can we put this away for a year and come back to it?
I mean, when it settles down a little bit on my tongue, I get brown sugar.
Yeah.
And that cherry, but...
Oh, my God.
A lot of sweetness.
Ooh. Ugh. That's gross.
I wonder if this is a barley wine, too. Some of them can be very, very overly sweet.
You're right.
Yeah, because...
You're right about
that. If you can get past the sugariness, there's actually a good amount of alcohol in there, too.
Yeah. That's rough, though.
That sucks. Like, that's so sweet. Like, sickly sweet. And I ate candy earlier today. Like, I ate some candy items.
Cherries?
Chocolate covered cherries. I don't know. Actually, I do some unboxing videos for various things on a YouTube channel. But I just started doing a Japanese snack box.
Huh.
So I just did that today and put it up, and they had like dark chocolate covered rice crackers, which was very tasty.
Mm,
yeah. You know, there were some other really awesome things in there too, but
I don't know. Everyone just keeps going back to milk juice here.
Yeah, no, that milk juice is just... now for nowadays beer people's taste buds.
Yeah, it's a modern beer.
Awesome. Yeah, totally modern. Oh my god, I'm having a hard time.
I don't even want to re-drink it again. It's so damn sweet.
Yeah, I'm giving it a 1 because it's too sweet to be considered a beer for me. I wouldn't even drink it ever.
I would say that it's...
I hate
it. I don't know, man. Like, it is too sweet, but then...
It's not just too sweet. It's like way too sweet.
Oh, really? It really is sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, its actual flavors are good, though.
That's a Wilford Brimley right there. That's diabetes in a glass. Mm-hmm. That's what that is. And I met the guy.
Mm.
I don't know why that strengthens your argument. But...
because he told me about his diabetes. No, he didn't.
You have a rating?
I'm vacillating between 2 and 3, and
I went to 1.
I'm going. I guess I'll go 2.
I'm going 2.
All right. So. Yes, I'm mathing it. 5 divided by 3 is 1.67. That's not good.
No, that's a poor score out of 10.
Yeah, this is... Are you a math teacher? It's awesome. All right, so number 8. Let's see if I can find the bottle.
Yeah, definitely not Prima Pills.
What, oh, there it is.
What highly venerated beer is this?
I don't know, but it's the lowest rated one we've had. Shame to this brewery.
I got curious, this style.
It's hard to get out. Okay.
Is this the Sammy
Claus?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, this was on an episode of Somerville and Brewcast. A buddy of mine does a beer podcast up in Massachusetts. They had this on their Christmas episode.
What year is this?
So Santa Claus malt liquor, 14% alcohol.
Wow.
I guess why they need all the sweetness. The world's most extraordinary beverage. I don't think so. It's done by Castle Brewery Eggenberg in Austria. I've never had this before.
I have. And I've...
And it's...
This is a beer meant for aging.
I don't see a beer.
I think I know where it might be.
Okay.
Let me see.
You take a look. I've never had that beer before.
Well, like I said, you've got to come back to it for a year to that.
Yeah, here it is. This is a 2016. Bottled in 2016.
Oh, so it has aged a year already.
Oh, my God.
Over a year and already, and it's still this sweet.
Ugh. No, that's just... No.
Yeah, brewed once a year on December 6th. Santa Claus is aged for 10 months before bottling.
December 6th. Isn't that...
What? What? Isn't it what?
The specialty beer
is
perhaps...
Isn't that the day that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor?
Is it the day that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor? I don't know. I'm not a history buff. So, potentially, the day that this beer is brewed was a terrible day in history.
I recall liking this a lot more than I did this episode.
Oh, my
God. So, potentially, this beer was being brewed...
In 2015.
When...
Oh, no, it was aged for 10 months, so it was brewed in... No, it's brewed on December 6th. So, it was brewed in December of 2015, bottled in 2016. It needs several more years for...
It needs something.
I don't know, that sweetness was overpowering.
I just enjoy the fact that it says malt liquor on it.
Well, there are other beers.
I know.
I don't know why they do
it's
that.
It's pretty prominently labeled on it.
I mean,
usually,
I always thought it was because they didn't have hops in it.
Usually when something says malt liquor...
I thought that was some...
It's possible.
I mean, I don't know if you can call it beer if you don't have hops.
No, I'm sure it's a legal distinction.
Yeah.
But... Usually when beers are forced to call themselves malt liquor...
It's not a good thing.
They try to hide it in the labeling. Whereas this malt liquorness is pretty prominently up front and center on it.
Yeah.
It's aged 10 months before bottling. And it can be aged for many years to come, supposedly. I don't know. I wouldn't purchase that.
I have some on my beer shelf and...
Will you let me know how that
is? I
hope you enjoy it in 2024.
I will. Maybe. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't.
All right, let's move to 9, which also looks very red and clear. I feel like we're just getting like all these like Bach-ish type beers. I guess that's what they were doing 10 years or more ago.
I'm just getting sweet malts. And
another sweet malt, yep.
Not much else.
Yeah. Very sweet. I feel like there's like a little bit of a citrusy hop note on
top. Yeah, and I'm getting whatever bready yeast is underneath, but that's faint.
Cherries, anyone? Cherries?
No.
No cherries. Not this time.
All right.
Pass on the cherries this time. It smells good, honestly. It actually, the hop note on it smells close to what I was smelling on the 60-minute IPA, honestly.
Yeah.
So maybe it was also continuously hot for 60 minutes. Who knows?
They ripped off.
Maybe for 90 minutes.
Maybe. That's true. Yeah,
this doesn't look like an IPA to me.
No,
if it is.
It's very dark.
Yeah,
it's not.
It's way too.
Not a good recipe.
It's chalky.
Oh my God, is it bitter?
I was about to say it tastes like nothing, but then it has an aftertaste of bitterness.
I don't like this at all.
Yeah, the aftertaste is really bitter, and it's chalky in my mouth. Like, it's drying and chalky.
You're just getting, like, generic breadiness. It's very...
Yeah, I agree with that.
It's very watery.
Tire rubber, maybe? A little tire rubber in there?
I'm just getting, like, straight, like, unpleasant bitter.
I'm getting, like, you know how... that canned air keyboard cleaners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of that.
Sure. I get tire rubber. At least the way it kind of smells. But did you know that if you turn those canned air things over, you can freeze things?
No.
Really shouldn't, but...
No, but my...
You also huff it if you wanted to,
yes.
I guess.
When I was overseas, we were super bored, and my friend RJ huffed... that stuff, and it was not a good idea.
I'm sure it's not a good idea.
Rest in peace, RJ.
Yeah, that was his last Wisconsin swirl. All right, I'm giving it a 1. This beer's not good either.
I am agreeing with 1.
1.
Yeah, this beer.
It's not good.
It's
that's poop.
It's kind of irredeemable.
It's poop. All right, number 9.
This 16-ounce can?
Yeah, it's a 16-ounce can for some reason. All right. The worst score. Oh my god.
It's my gosh.
Stone Brewing's Arrogant Bastard Ale.
Wow. That is something I don't like.
7.2% alcohol by volume.
I will say that I've never liked this beer.
Like I have, so that's crazy. This one was canned in November. Enjoy by, it's within the enjoy by. It says enjoy by March 8th. And
I'm calling bullshit on that enjoy by because don't know if I would like this on the day after it was canned.
I will say this one gushed.
Did it?
Yes, I do recall that because it's the only can.
Yeah, it's definitely not infected or anything.
No, but it's...
Maybe it just got a little agitated, like my palate is right now.
Yeah, what do they say this is?
Call it a strong ale.
Yeah, that's
English right. Strong ale.
Well, the English...
American strong ale, sorry.
I guess it's dirt.
That's yucky.
Stone is one of those breweries that are just... I've just never liked as much as other people. They're just...
The only thing I really enjoyed a lot of is a lot of the enjoy buys.
Yeah.
Those IPAs can talk about masking alcohol. Some of those are like 10% and they're just dank and I love it. It's so good. But
So this is just me not knowing, but those enjoy buys, are they
able to be enjoyed by?
No. Like, are they the same
recipe?
Yeah, they're the same recipe.
They mix it up. They switch it up. I mean, it's not always like a big change, but I know they've done a black IPA version. They did a coffee IPA version, which most people hate. I actually really loved it.
I love coffee IPAs when they're done right.
That one was probably one of my most memorable coffee IPAs. I thought it was delicious.
Damn it. I wish I could have got a hold of that one.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah.
I'd have to say my favorite coffee IPA I ever had was from Fate Brewing out of Colorado. I think it was their Moirai IPA is what it was called. Oh, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
Although I do really not like black IPAs. I just don't like them.
Cascadian Dark Ales?
Yeah, I don't like those either.
It's a weird style. And I'm going to say that there's two that pop into my head that I loved. And first one is by Brew Kettle in Ohio, Black Raja.
Okay.
And then Union did one last year called Lucifer's Trees that was phenomenal.
Never had.
My only point is don't just crap on the style in your head.
No, I've had like.
There could be some that might surprise you.
I've had like maybe like three or four times to try them. And to me, it's always a thing where the alcohol. The hops and then the bitter maltiness.
Yeah.
They all like just amplify each other and then it's just too much and then I just don't like it.
So I had a phenomenal black IPA and it's almost like it was imperial. It's really viscous. By Surly Brewing.
Oh.
Blacker.
Surly makes amazing beers.
I think it was I'm pretty sure it was a collaboration. It was Surly and two other breweries, but I don't remember the other two. But it was, oh my god, that was by far the best black IPA I've ever had. It was crazy amazing. But just saying, yeah, there's good stuff out there.
Yeah.
Let's move on to number 10. We're getting close to the end here.
I know, we're moving pretty well.
Well, it helps that some of these we only want a sip of.
Some were just like, gone, done. Okay, yeah. So this one's very orange.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's some stuff in suspension when I swirl it up. There's some crap.
Oh yeah, look at. I mean, if you look up through the bottom,
yeah, there's stuff in there.
It's like someone dumped some sand in my glass.
Yeah, that's kind of what it looks like.
I don't know. It's hard to dig into this one. It's
orangey, orange, but with the peel as well, like a little orange fruit, a little orange peel.
I'm getting hay.
Slight, like, candied Smarties. Like, almost a little sugary on the nose because of that. Yeah.
And like you said, I'm getting, like, orange peel or something like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm not really pulling much out on this one.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm trying hard.
I'm digging real deep.
Yeah. A little bready, too. A little biscuity breadiness in the nose. All right, I'm ready to taste it. It kind of smells like an IPA.
I'm enjoying this. This is
tastes nice.
Yeah, it has a big full mouth feel. And it's not super flavorful, but it's really pleasant. Like
It's easy. It's got kind of like a noble hop flavor to it, you know, a little earthy, like English style. But I do get, like I was talking about, like the orange peel. I get like an orange peel in there.
And it's got a good, it's still got a good, like a bready note that's nice.
Yes, I agree with that. It's not very bitter either.
No, bitterness is pretty perfect for me. I think it seems like an IPA to me.
Yeah.
That's what I would guess. Yeah.
A 10-year-old IPA.
Yes.
That's not bad. That's not bad. I'm going to go a 3 on that beer. It's all right.
I'm actually, maybe it's because it's the best beer I've had in a little while, but I'm going to give it a 6.
Whoa.
I'm going to go 5.
Dan's blowing it out over here.
Now, you really do have to do math on this one.
I know. That's what I'm doing. Okay, so it's a 4.67 overall. So tied for the best beer. So this is tied with the Hop Devil.
Okay.
So it makes sense. All right, number 10. It's this one.
Oh, that's a Sierra Nevada State bottle.
It kind of looks like it's small in stature. Yep.
Yes!
Sierra Nevada Pale Ale.
All right, I knew it would pop up, and I'm glad it did. It just shows you how timeless this recipe is.
It is good. ABV 5.6%. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Like I've said about a few of these, I can't remember the last time I've had this beer, but maybe I should drink this beer more
it's
often.
It's tasty. That's it is tasty.
Decent. I remember I spent a few weeks in California with my brother-in-law. This is pretty much the only beer he keeps in stock, and so I had one of these every night for more than a week, and I was not complaining the whole time.
I mean, it's easy but flavorful.
Yeah.
And this is, it's just a side note for it, but it's tied into it. So I listen to the Brewing Network, their Sunday session episodes, and they'll usually do a interview with a brewery.
Okay.
And they just recently had some representatives from Sierra Nevada, and it just made me just think back to, like, how much I really do like some of these Sierra Nevada beers, even though they're, you know, older recipes. Like, for me, one that I had cited to Rebecca earlier tonight, and I was just like, I feel like we should have this beer in our fridge all the time. But people forget about it. They're stout. Their straight-up stout is probably the best straight stout I've ever had.
I haven't had that in forever.
It's so
good. I'd have to revisit that.
You know who's like a really, it's like a really good stout too, is just Bell's Standard Stout. It's also really good.
I can't remember the last time I had their standard stout.
Their standard stout and their standard porter are just excellent.
It's the same thing with Sierra Nevada. Their porter and their stout are so good. But that stout, man, like, there's something about, like, I've had straight-up stouts from other breweries and been like, nah, I just wish this was an Imperial Stout. Wish this was an Imperial Stout, because it's too watery and the flavors don't match up with what you need out of it. But with Sierra Nevada, that stout, it's just like, you're fine with the mouthfeel. You're fine with the flavors, like, It's right on.
I have to pick that up if I can. I don't think I've seen that on the shelf anywhere.
Well, I think
it's at Wine World.
I feel like only
in the cooler, though.
I really got to, man. I mean, it's just personal opinion, but I feel like I often have the opposite viewpoint where, you know, just Imperials were and are just so prolific and popular. Mm-hmm. And And it's just like each one of them is trying to be an event. And it's just like, I don't want an event. I want a beer I can just relax with, man.
Dan just wants half an event. Yeah. He wants to run half an event.
He just wants a gathering.
Yeah, a gathering. Perfect.
He just wants to hang.
I hear you on that. But
it's just like it
doesn't have to be so complicated.
Yeah, like this beer is just, a lot of times I'm just drinking an Imperial. It's just like it's too big for its own good.
I've had those instances, but I also really like an Imperial here and there. And I will say, tied into Sierra Nevada, their Narwhal Imperial Stout is really good, and the bourbon barrel-aged version is outstanding.
Yeah.
And I'm very excited because when we went down to North Carolina last year, we picked up their three-pack of the Narwhal barrel-aged. So we got a bourbon barrel, a rum barrel, and a red wine barrel aged.
Interesting.
Oh,
that sounds
really
great.
Cool.
So I'm sitting on those, and it was expensive, but not as expensive as if I would have gotten it up in Maryland.
Yeah.
So
if you would, I don't think I've seen that.
I think it did show up, but it was very limited.
Okay.
Like, not many of them. I think because I had asked Mike at Wine World about it prior to us going down there because I didn't know if we would find it or when it was coming out. And when I came back, he's like, oh, we have it. And it basically, it would have cost me 10 extra bucks.
Okay.
And he's like, we only got like two of them.
Okay.
Of the three packs.
So. I'd be really curious of like what you were getting out of that rum barrel just because, I mean.
It usually imparts like a sweetness and a little bit of a spice character is what I typically get.
Well, if it's a spiced rum or a straight rum.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. It would have to, yeah, I don't know. And then the red wine, like, honestly, sometimes I really don't like red wine barrel-aged stouts because the tannins.
Yeah.
And there it's extra bitterness, basically. And
it's giving you at least the, if you're not tasting it, you're thinking it in your head of a fruit note. And sometimes fruited stouts, to me, I don't like them.
I would wonder if just a non-stout, like just like a blonde or something like that in a red wine barrel would be better than a stout. Just because you're dealing with a more neutral place.
Yeah.
To start with.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's go to number 11. We're almost there.
All right.
And then when we're done with this, I'm actually just going to pause the recording real quick and write up the list of first to last, basically, and then I'll run it again and give that. Is this potentially another bock of sorts?
It's reddish.
It's
very dark.
Purpley.
Probably one of the darkest, if not the
darkest. Don't have
you don't have a light right in front of you. Yeah,
yeah, your light's...
Because to me, I'm facing a dark wall, so it looks almost black to me.
So that West Mall Double Trappist Ale was the darkest, but this one's probably the second darkest. So
I'm getting...
I get a little cocoa on this one, actually.
Yeah, it's...
Slight cocoa.
I'm getting a little char on here, too.
I was about to say the exact same thing. A little roasty char note.
I mean, yeah, a little... Maybe a little cigarette, too.
No. Well, I've never had cigarettes, so I guess I can't say for sure. No, never.
Let's light them up.
Cigars. I've done cigars in the past.
Oh, I can't.
No. Cigarettes.
I hate cigars.
I like the smell. I was in college. I had a few, times with cigars, but haven't since. It's been a long time.
I did get a little alcohol burn on my nose on this one.
Yeah.
I'm getting...
Did you get a little cherry? I actually do get a little
cherry. I'm getting
this time again.
Stop trying to make cherries happen.
No, I get it.
I swear I'm getting something like
cherry night.
I swear I'm getting mushroom on this.
I don't see it, but maybe.
Like it's something like real. I don't want to even use the word, but you said it before. Is like umami. It's just like something, like something like
almost a little soy sauce.
Yeah, or like beef broth or
Yeah. I see what you're saying with a little umami. Which, by the way, side note, Rebecca and I started drinking some kombucha.
I love kombucha.
Yeah, if you like sour beers,
you
got to drink kombucha because it's.
I've never had kombucha before,
so it's like the non-alcohol sour beer, basically.
If there's alcohol, it's like
so low.
It's like a
which
small
is funny because
amount.
Most sour beers are super low in alcohol anyways.
Right. But this is so low that they don't even have to mark it as having alcohol on the label. But it's fermented tea,
right?
And they'll usually throw other stuff in.
Yeah.
The other night we tried one that had fermented black tea, I think, with reishi mushroom and cocoa added. And it was really tasty.
I've known some people who make their own kombucha, and like it's these people who are like fermenting as a religion for them.
I know you need something called a SCOBY.
That is the
thing that does the fermenting. It's like
fermenting.
A yeast. It's weird. It's like a gel thing.
Disgusting. I've seen this like this fermenting. I stopped watching this big long thing on on a YouTube thing. Anyways, but it's like you can use the same organism over and over again to make new kombucha, and every single time you do it, it creates a new layer for itself. So it does become like an animal that you're growing in your vessel.
It looks like a yeast scab.
No, but the one I saw was huge. It was the size of an arm. Like it was gargantuan.
That sounds nasty.
It does.
I don't know if I want to drink kombucha.
Like this woman had been using the same organism over and over and over again, and it was just this gargantuan monster by the time she like showed it on tape.
It's a living thing.
Wild. There's a place I think in it's in Baltimore. I think it's called Wild Kombucha.
Yeah,
and I believe they sell them at Wine World.
They have Meta Coffee.
Okay,
over close to us.
So I know we went on a tangent, but I just tasted the beer again. This is very pleasant.
Is this a Bock?
This is another one that's really easy. It's a really simple.
This
easy.
Seems a little. I'm calling it like a German Bock.
I wonder if it's
really like. Malty, like not crazy sweet though.
I don't want to. I don't know. Maybe I'll end up looking really stupid, but I wonder if this is a porter.
No more stupid than when you threw beer in your crotch.
Can we say lap? That sounds better.
No, I like crotch because it's like
I know you
offensive,
like crotch,
but not offensive. It's that in between.
Yeah, because I'm still getting a little bit of roastiness.
Yes,
and It's thin, but in a nice way.
Sure.
It's easy drinking. It feels more like a porter than it does a Bock.
I can see, based on flavor alone, like if you were actually a blind person tasting this, or blindfolded, sure. You might, based on the flavors. But if you look at it, and you can see through it.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little bit of a cereal finish on it.
Any particular kind?
Just
a general, generic-y cereal?
Generic cereal finish.
Like a grainy finish?
Not Fruity Pebbles? Or
No, not like that. But
yeah, I get that too.
This is delicious, though. I love it.
I think it's okay. Like, I feel like it's a little aqueous. There's not, like, a ton going on. I hate using that word, by the way.
Aqueous?
Yeah, I hate using it.
Why? You like? You'd rather use yeasty, though?
No, that's a word that I heard a lot on another beer podcast, and really annoying.
I know exactly what podcast you're talking about.
Yeah, both of you guys know for sure. I know you guys know. It's not a bad beer. I just don't. There's not like a crap ton going on for me with it. I don't know. I'm giving it 2.
You're giving it a 2?
Yeah, that is
low. Wow.
That just happened. It did just happen.
I'm actually gonna go. So I'm giving a 5.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying it.
And that's why it's good to have you guys rate that way, because you're balancing.
I mean, I feel weird being so far away from you, man. I'm going to give it a 6. Like, I really like it.
Hey, it's about what you guys like. So, 4.33 overall. So, pretty solid.
Okay.
There you go. All right. So, this is number 11. All right. With an overall 4.33, number 11 is... It's a stubby bottle, so... Oh.
Turbo Dog.
Oh, my God.
Abita. Turbo Dog.
Abita Brewing's Turbo Dog. It's a brown ale, you guys, which would make sense with how light it is and those roasted characters. 5.6% alcohol by volume. You know, there's a funny story behind Turbo Dog. So, my dad... retired now, but he worked in a law firm, and he had a certain coffee he would always make that was just like super high octane coffee. Mm-hmm. And no one else would drink it for the most part, but like a few people would be like, oh, I want the high octane stuff that he makes. So someone named it Turbo Dog after this beer, because they remember this being like a very high octane offensive beer to their palate when they had it a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so it was forever known as, my dad's name is Ken, it was forever known as Ken's Turbo Dog. And straight up, like, on the carafe that they would put it in, it had a label on it that would say Ken's Turbo Dog. So
what's the alcohol in this again?
5.6.
Wow. It tastes way bigger than that to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it's fine. I wasn't huge on it, but
I like it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not amazing, but it's just solid.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, I'm hoping the last one...
Which is about as high as a compliment you can give to a brown ale.
Unless it's something like Cigar City's Maduro Brown Ale. That is good. Phenomenal.
That beer is great.
I like Bell's Best Brown as well.
The Best Brown is pretty good.
Oliver makes a good one as well.
There you go.
Now that I think about it, maybe I just like brown ales.
I don't know.
That's possible. All of them. All right, so 12. Also very, very dark.
It's Turbo Dog.
Almost. It's brownish.
Imperial
red.
Turbo Dog.
It looks a tad hazy, though.
Yeah, and it's keeping its carbonation pretty well.
Take a smell of that.
What? Ooh. It smells sour.
It's
first one.
It smells sour, but is that intentional?
I don't know.
Is this one of the ones?
I was about to say, it smells like a...
vinegary.
Like apple cider a little bit, too.
It's kind of like a... It smells a little bit like a birch beer.
I've not really had birch beer.
It's like a root beer, but slightly different.
A little vanilla-y.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, this is like a vanilla...
I agree on that.
I don't know if this is intentional or not, based on the smell.
This could have been one of the ones that it gushed.
It smells like... like when you're pouring vinegar on your French fries to me.
See, I'm getting. I mean, I can see where you're. I can see where you're getting vinegar, like malt vinegar or red wine vinegar. But then, like, if you're in a better mood, it might smell something like
apple cider vinegar.
No, like rhubarb or something like that.
I can feel you on the rhubarb. Actually, I can.
I can't. I not. Experience with rhubarb, so
rhubarb's kind of strawberry like, okay, but less tart and sugary.
No,
that's how I
rhubarb
it.
Is no, because rhubarb and strawberry put together all the time because rhubarb is really tart.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I have a new Glarus beer, strawberry rhubarb, which is pretty good.
Heard it's good.
Yeah. But now this is really smelling like strawberry rhubarb to me.
Carlin took a sip and it's a not seeing good things.
It's very smooth. It's fruity. It's tart. It's not. It doesn't have bitterness. I
hate it, but it tastes like apple cider vinegar, kind of. Sweetness added.
To me, it tastes like a strawberry hard candy.
I don't really see the strawberry. I do get a slight cola, maybe.
Oh, I can see that, too. I can see that, too.
Especially, like, if you eat one of those cola gummies.
You know,
gummy fruit, like gummy candy that's cola.
I'm very familiar with gummy colas.
So the only thing I could... like, you're just, like, very emphatic about...
I have a big history of...
No, but I have a friend, Mike, who used to work for whatever company makes... gummy bears.
Haribo.
Haribo. Right. He used to work for them. And every time I saw him, he brought over 4 pounds of gummies. Yep. And cola would always be one of them.
You have a gummy guy.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just honestly, like, and people, if this gets to be too much, like, warning. It sounded like have you ever seen, like, the giant gummy bears?
Oh, yeah.
Like, the ones that are, like, 5 pounds
or
something.
Yeah, my kid got one once. It's nasty.
So the way you responded to it is it sounded like you got, like, a giant gummy Coke and just, like, drilled a hole into it and were just like, this is one night. That's me.
So I knew you were going to...
I didn't go there.
Yeah, I knew you were going to go gross, but then you went so much grosser than I thought you were going to go. No, I remember one time...
And then you were like, milk juice.
So one time, okay, so I have a part-time job, and he's with me on that part-time job. And we were doing this gig, and basically I had gummy colas for lunch. And I ate like 6 of the large ones.
Oh.
Like the ones that are like 5 inches tall for lunch, basically.
Man,
was that your entire lunch?
Because of the hours of the gig, we were there from like 10 to 2, and it ended up being my lunch because so I'm familiar with gummy colas.
So this beer gives me a lot of like apple. Yeah. Gives me a lot of apple.
Apple-y, very apple-y.
Yeah,
I am still getting, I totally see where you were getting apple, and I see where you're getting Coke, but I also taste strawberry. So.
Sure. I mean, I don't really, but I can see where it's coming in, because it's like darker.
The sip I just took was just kind of like an iced tea.
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if this tartness is intentional on this one. I'm going to...
Yeah, I don't
know. Whether or not it's intentional, is it pleasant or not?
It's...
I got to be honest.
It's not gross.
No, it's not bad. So the only like older sour beer I can think of is like La Folie by New Belgium, but yeah. this does not taste like La Folie to me because La Folie is significantly more sour.
And that's it's definitely true that basically all things sour is it's a new it's a relatively new trend.
Yes.
Before 10 years,
but La Folie's been around for a while.
No, I know. I mean, I know a lot of those sour beers from like you know, like Europe are like forever old.
I gotta feel like this is not intentional. Yeah, this can't be intentional because it tastes too odd. But it's also not bad.
I'm not saying it's bad.
And I wouldn't say it's a I don't think it's an infection because there's no funkiness attached to it. And like a lot of the times, like when that's unintentional, those two things go together.
All I can taste
it's pretty simple, like in not a bad way, but it's just what it is.
One noted flavor profile on that sourness. All I taste now is Lipton iced tea mix.
That's about it. No, you're right with that bit of lemon to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. But do
is
you
this
like
iced tea?
Do you like Lipton iced tea?
I love Lipton iced tea.
Well, there you go.
I'm crushing Lipton iced tea on the weekends.
All right, I'll go for it. I'm going to give this a 5.
Okay. I'm going 3.
I'm also going 3.
Okay. All right. So it's 3.67. So not, you know, decent.
It's average for the evening.
All right. So the last one. Number 12, 3.67 is, I'm very interested to know if this is intentional. Oh, it's really soggy, so it did gush. Yeah. Monk's, all right. Oh, Monk's Cafe Flemish Sour Ale.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, man, I remember liking this a lot more than that.
Yeah, same here.
5.5% alcohol by volume. Product of Belgium. Who's it by? Brewery Van Steenberg is who it is. And this is, if I'm not mistaking, this is actually done for Monk's Cafe.
Yes,
Bar
it is.
In
Philly.
Yeah.
All right. I remember liking this a lot more.
I do. And I had it on draft at Monk's. And I enjoyed it.
I don't remember it being so apple-y.
Yeah.
Well, I'm enjoying it now. So I remember enjoying it before. I still enjoy it. But I do remember it being more complex in my memory than this is. This is tasting pretty simple in one note.
Yeah.
I like the note, but you guys don't, it's fine, but
yeah. Yeah, it's fine. All right. So I'm just gonna pause it real quick and I'll put together the total list and then we'll come back and talk about that real fast. So we're back and we did the final rankings. There were a few that had the exact same ranking, so we had to talk it out, suss things out, and decide what we thought as a group needed to be ahead of what. So here we have it. Number 12, the last one, was the Stone Arrogant Bastard Ale. That was the lowest by far. Number 11 was the Castle Brewery Eggenberg's Santa Claus, which, not too much ahead of the Arrogant Bastard. Number 10 was Dewclaw's Bare Ass Blonde Ale. Number 9 was the Anchor Steam Beer. Number 8, Dogfish Head's 60-Minute IPA. Number 7 was the Westmall Double Trappist Ale. Number 6, Sierra Nevada's Bigfoot Barley Wine. Number 5, the Monk's Cafe Flemish Sour done by Brewery Van Steenberg. Number 4 was Abita's Turbo Dog Brown Ale. Number 3 was Victory's Hop Devil IPA. Number 2 is Trogue's Troganator Double Bock. And number 1 was Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale. Well,
there you have it. Sierra Nevada Pale Ale. Timeless.
Yeah.
I guess, honestly, going into this, if you would tell me all the beers that were going to be in there, I don't think I would say Sierra Nevada's Pale Ale is going to be number 1.
I can agree with that.
I don't think... I probably would have said Dogfish Head 60 Minute would end up being number 1, but...
Yeah, but still a good time. And, I know that there were a few duds in here, but by and large, an enjoyable session. And it should be for beers that were that have stood the test of time.
Mm-hmm.
Have they all, though?
For the most part, I mean.
I would have thought the Westmalle would have been higher.
Yeah.
I in my head, they just seem more historical and more sought after.
We hear Trap. I think Trappist ales in general have a kind of a reverence.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree with that for sure. I gotta say, my favorite beer is the Milk Juice, though.
I would agree with that, Jason.
Mm. Oh my god! So after tasting all 12 of these like throwback beers, and then trying this Milk Juice again, it's just like an explosion of flavors.
Yeah, it's just so full mouthed and just big and loud on great flavor.
Yeah, and it's it's actually a good thing that you brought this, because it's a really good kind of comparison between where beer was at least 10 years ago and where beer is now. Because, I mean, this is New England style IPA with some tweaks, and that's where we are now. Like, that's the most popular thing. So,
yeah, this was a great session. I love trying these beers blind, and there probably was a couple that I hadn't even had. It's fun diving into the flavor, guessing the style, and just kind of giving some perceptions without knowing what you think you should think of it, you know?
I agree with that. And off podcast, you guys were saying how, tasting-wise, it was probably the worst that we did the Bigfoot Barley Wine first. that was number one.
That was aggressive.
Yeah, that's true.
Just because we usually go smallest beer to biggest beer, and we had Bigfoot number one as to really set the tone on our tongue.
Well, if I would have planned better, I could have asked Josh to number the beers instead of me numbering them. So that was the problem, is that we just pulled them out of the fridge where, you know, we can't see what they are. We just drew numbers on them and just poured them that way.
Yeah.
So just so happens the biggest, gnarliest beer ended up being number one. Go figure.
Yeah.
But it is a brutal battle, so it fits, I guess.
Yeah.
Kick it off with style in a big way. So thank you, Dan, for coming on. Thank you for throwing this idea out, actually.
My pleasure. This is a great time.
Yeah, and still got that towel on your crotch. So,
you know. All right, now it's in your face.
Literally did throw it at me, so that's fine. It smells like beer, though, so it smells pretty good.
Better than smell like crotch.
Wait, what beer was that?
That's just how my crotch smells.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I can't remember which beer you spilled.
And Jason,
thank you very much.
Yeah. And thank you for the homebrew.
Anytime.
Awesome.
Yeah, that was
anytime.
Excellent. Thank you.
Awesome. So
go on Facebook, like Breadhead Brewing. That's all I can say.
When is Breadhead opening? It's
my garage is always open.
Oh, perfect.
That's about it.
There you go.
Do you want to give your home address to all the listeners?
No. You gotta message me on. I gotta determine if you're gonna kill me first.
Yeah. No, that's good. Just message him on Craigslist.
Yeah. Sure.
It'd be all good. It's all legitimate through Craigslist, right? It's all legitimate. All right. So thank you guys very much.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone for listening. This was 200. We did it in a big throwback way. So, yeah. So thanks once again. And until next time, keep it brutal.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.